Hi, this is Van Sammons. I appreciate you joining us today to listen to this podcast on titled Capitalizing on PM for System I-5. I work in the IBM Power Systems group and have been associated with PM for System I-5 for a number of years, but I also have on the phone today with me the Kurt Thompson, who's the chief architect on PM for System I-5, and we're going to take advantage of this time to hopefully provide you a better understanding of what the features and benefits are of using this tool. So, Kurt, if I had to ask you just exactly what PM for System I-5 is, what would you say in a 60 seconds that would to someone that to give them a quick understanding?
Well, PM has two basic functions. It helps you more easily plan for and manage growth and performance of your system. I believe it should be part of your systems management strategy, and I'll explain that a little more later. Secondly, it'll help you get the most value out of your IT investment by helping you to understand how additional workloads can safely be added to use the excess capacity that you may have on your system. And by safely, I mean you add the new function and you still maintain good performance. PM, in conjunction with the workload estimator, allows you to evaluate your options.
Wow, that's a lot to absorb. What you're basically saying is that there is a couple of general areas that either one of which everyone can benefit. Let's dig into that a little bit further and see just exactly how that works. So what you're saying is that there is an ability to help me better understand my utilization capacity on my system and manage my system in that regard, but I never really had thought about, or I guess what we want to make clear is that that it also can help you understand what to do with your excess capacity. I can see that that in today's business world, how that could be very helpful for just about all clients. But so now that, you know, they sound both equally important, they kind of fit together, but it seems like you would have to understand and appreciate how the using this to help you in a systems management environment from a capacity constraint standpoint, it's important to understand that first before you could really understand and appreciate how the second is possible. So let's start with that, and then talking about it from a systems management perspective, and then we'll go into the using it to understand what else you could be doing. Before we get started with that, Kurt, could you tell the audience, in case they want to follow along, just exactly what website that they can maybe be looking at while we're talking about this today?
Yeah, certainly. It's www.ibm.com/systems/i/PM System I-5.
All right, terrific. Okay, so Kurt, let's start at the beginning. I know that there is both a no charge and a full function fee service offering on PM. Could you describe the basic difference?
Certainly, but before I do, let me say one thing, that the same data is summarized and sent to IBM regardless of the level of participation. So we have what we call the no charge service, which includes the management summary graph, which gives you your current monthly average utilization and a 12-month projection for your CPU and disk. So it's simply of what's my state of health and what's it going to be in the future. It doesn't give you any additional detail for what I'll call systems management activities. That's what's available from the fee service, which gives you a much higher level of detail. It allows you to drill down and see daily views for particular resources like CPU. It does not give job level information. That information would be available in the performance data on the system. But it's a first step in your problem analysis. You can identify a time frame when your system had a problem, and then you go use the onboard tools.
Okay, well, excellent. So can you give us an idea of just exactly how PM for System I works? What does a customer have to do to get started with this?
Well, the code is included in I5 OS, and it's shipped active but not sending. And by that I mean, the sending part you would have to initiate. But active, this is a concept that's unique to IBM. The PM collection agent creates up to a 60-day summarized history even if the system is not transmitting. It's like a black box flight recorder. And then should you have a problem or decide to activate the sending, up to 60 days of history will be sent. Service agent needs to be on the system, obviously, because that's how we get the data to IBM. And in most cases, you have it set up to already retrieve PTFs. Service agent, the beauty of that is it supports many different connection types, including sending the data via an HMC. We recommend that you configure service agent to transmit daily. Once we receive data from a new partition or a new server, we send you a password, and this will allow you to view your entitled reports. Similarly, the fee or free, it doesn't make any difference what level you're participating at. You still have the ability to use the workload estimator.
Okay, excellent. So that sounds pretty straightforward. What is done to protect the security of the client's data? Because I know security is always on every customer's mind, and rightfully so.
Absolutely. As I said, we use Service Agent to move the data to IBM, and Service Agent uses encryption. It's a one-way call, if you will. It's an outbound-type call. And then once the data gets to IBM, it's behind firewalls. It's controlled access. And the data is only available to your business partner or solution provider if you have authorized them to view that data.
Okay, well, excellent. In the past and previously, you've mentioned that PM for System I should be part of everybody's systems management strategy. So why don't we start there with that discussion, and can you give me an idea of what some of the best practices are from the systems management and how this fits in?
Well, absolutely. As I've said, what we've tried to do with PM is automate what we call best practices for performance or systems management. And by that I mean regular collection of the high-level performance metrics and then analysis of that data. You need to calculate what your average utilizations are for different shifts or different production windows. You need to identify, peak times. When is the workload hitting the system? What's the peak utilization at that time of the day? You should have a long-term retention of that data. Then this then allows you to do trending of that data. We feel so strongly about having the summarized data available that the function was integrated into i5OS in v5.2. As I mentioned earlier, the performance data is automatically collected and summarized, and a 60-day history is maintained. The data is not sent to IBM unless you authorize it.
Okay, great. So you said the data comes to IBM. What are the benefits of having that data come to IBM?
Well, for one thing, we automatically maintain that long-term repository I mentioned. We maintain over 14 months of data. This allows us to calculate annual growth rates. The long-term data is trended. Projection is made as to which resources will become constrained. And, of course, IBM PM reports are available on the web. And depending on the level of service, you're able to view different reports. And again, you have the ability then to also authorize your business partner or solution provider to view that data.
Okay, well, that's great. Can you, let's talk a little bit about the graphs. What is unique about the PM for System I5 graphs?
Yeah, that's a good question, Van. We take pride in the fact that we're just simply not showing you CPU utilization, for example. Where possible, we try to show the guideline for that metric on the graph or in the text section of the report. This is done either with colored backgrounds or a red line indicating the guideline. It allows you to easily see where you stand with that resource relative to the guidelines. And for CPU, guidelines are based on the number of processors available in the partition. CPU utilization is also displayed as a normalized value in terms of CPW for i5OS.
So what do you mean by the value is displayed as a normalized variable? What's the value of that?
Well, a normalized variable is a standard way of measuring something, and like cubic inches or horsepower for an engine. It should be noted that cubic inches is a physical characteristic of an engine and not a measurement of work. So it the equivalent of that would be I have one processor allocated to the partition, or I have two processors allocated to the partition. That's a physical characteristic of the partition. Whereas horsepower, or CPW, is a measurement of work. CPW stands for Commercial Processing Workload, which is an industry standard benchmark, and it's a way of measuring work done. CPU graphs in PM are plotted in CPW, and this allows you, particularly on our trend graph or growth graphs, this allows you to see the actual work growth independent of the resources allocated to the partition.
Okay, great. Can you talk about any other special features or capabilities with PM that are important from a systems management perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. With the full function PM, the interactive graphing feature allows you to drill down to an hourly view for a particular day. So if the data is being sent daily via the electronic service agent, then you have the ability to see the hourly view for yesterday, for example.
Ah, terrific. That sounds very interesting. This ability to drill down. Could you take us through an example of how a client might take advantage of that?
Well, yeah, I was working with a customer that was in for a briefing in Rochester, and we were looking at their PM graphs, and we noticed that in the daily view of the PM graphs, of the memory graph, which is time spent faulting, that they had a regular pattern that every Saturday they had a spike on this graph. And so I asked them if they're doing any system maintenance or file maintenance on Saturdays, and the answer was no. So there was something going on that wasn't expected. So what we did then is we drilled down on one particular day, and we could see that pretty consistently on Saturdays between 10 and noon, they had a spike on the memory graph. So we discussed what some of the causes could be, and when they went home from the briefing, they were going to investigate what could be going on their system on Saturday mornings.
Ah, excellent. I understand. I see how that could really be helpful. Well, that's I think I now have a much better idea of how this works from a systems management, traditional systems management perspective. This switched to the second major benefit area, which was using these tools to help you better understand what else you could be doing with your system, you know, with the excess capacity. Can you take us through that?
Yeah, as you said, PM is really good at anticipating impending capacity strains, but it also gives you a sense of when you have excess capacity. Understanding whether you have excess or not is just as important as understanding whether you have an approaching constraint.
Okay, I understand. I think I understand what you mean. Could you expand on that just a little bit more to make sure?
Well, a goal of good systems management is to always have a sense of your utilization and your available capacities. Even if your instincts tell you there's plenty of capacity available, it's nice to be able to, you know, to quantify that. It's important because you never know when you're going to see, quote, an opportunity that you need to capitalize on, and you'll immediately know if there is capacity available or if you're in a position to capitalize on that. For example, maybe it's an opportunity for you to do a server consolidation or migrate some application off some other hardware to the system I, things that can really start to, you know, change your cost picture. Or maybe you're putting in a brand new application, something that'll, you know, like Domino or WebSphere or telephony, something that'll really move your business forward, maybe web catalog. But it's nice to know whether you have the capacity.
Okay, I think I see where you're going with this. So how is this possible with PM for System I?
Well, there's an option available to all users in PM to pass your historical data over to the workload estimator, IBM Systems Workload Estimator. And this is a sizing tool that we provide to customers free of charge. It's web-based, and it allows you to assess your future options using your existing workload or existing measurements. When you're in the PM graphs on the internet, there's an option on the toolbar called Size Next Upgrade, and this is available regardless of your level of participation, whether you're in the no charge option or whether you're a fee customer participating in PM.
Ah, that sounds really cool. So explain again then why PM for System I is so important, because it sounds like I could just use the workload estimator by itself.
Well, to begin with, in order to assess your future needs, you have to have a baseline of what your workload is. And that's where PM provides the base information on your current system, as well as the projected growth rate. Remember I said we have long-term data, and we use that to calculate the growth rate. And with this as the basis, with your existing workload as the basis then, you can play around with PM to make sure that your future growth and future workloads are in good performance guidelines.
Okay, so take me through again some of the kinds of things that this enables me to do.
Well, if you're capacity constrained right now on your current system, you can easily project that workload onto an IBM recommended upgrade. As part of that scenario then, you can change the growth rate, and you can do an assessment for anywhere between 1 to 3 years out. So how long you want the hardware to last, for example. And then WLE projects your CPU utilization. It makes memory recommendations, disk arm recommendations, and it even makes recommendations on how to configure your LPARs. So if you're doing a multi-LPARed environment, it makes those recommendations out as it adds growth to the system. You also have the option to understand the impact of capacity on demand processors. You can simply select the addition of another processor to the system or partition in question, and WLE then projects against this altered configuration. It's really helpful when you're doing budgetary planning or just trying to understand your options for future growth.
Okay, great. So I understand that, but can you give us an idea of how these tools help me when I have excess capacity now that I kind of got the idea of how they work together?
Well, WLE has functions that allow you to add other workloads to the system in addition to your existing workload. The total requirement resources then projected into the future, and a recommendation is made. Again, you can put the new workloads into their own partition, and WLE will size that partition for you, including the number of processors, both whole and partial. It does partial processor recommendations. Does a memory recommendation, does a disk recommendation, and it'll show you how busy that partition will be and still be within good performance guidelines. And remember, many of our solution providers have WLE profiles that they can combine with your existing PM data to evaluate the new application on your existing system.
Okay. I noticed that that you've been saying today that it projects to what system you might need. But what if I'm in a situation where, the whole reason I'm doing the sizing is that to see what else I could be doing with my current excess capacity. So is there a way in the workload estimator to override so that it doesn't automatically recommend an upgrade?
Absolutely. That's one of the features of PM. Via drop-down window, you can select any model in the product line and project your workload against that model. So you simply select the processor model that you currently have from the drop-down, and WLE will show you the impact of your current workload plus the new workload against that processor model or your processor model. That way you get a sense of how your current system will handle the added applications on top of your existing workload.
Okay, and that's really cool. So walk me through how this works in a server consolidation kind of a projection.
Well, in its simplest form, you have multiple system I's using PM for System I. You can simply, from the PM website, send the PM data from all these systems to the workload estimator at the same time. And the workload estimator will then take into account all of it. It'll make a recommendation on the system requirements. And as I said before, you can then select your current model to see if the consolidation will fit. If it won't fit, then WLE can be used to suggest a model and configuration that will handle that requirement. Another way to look at consolidation is if you're trying to bring workload over from an existing system, but you don't have PM running. The workload estimator will support this as well. It allows you to set up a partition, specify the operating system type, and then manually key in the estimate of additional workload you're adding. Think of it as a blank workload template that you complete and tell WLE your anticipated volumes. And then it goes off and checks that against your configuration.
Okay, I understand what you're doing there. But what if I wanted to, in my company, take advantage of some of the IBM standard middleware applications? How does the workload estimator work in that regard?
Well, WLE has a number of templates or workloads already established that you can choose from. What you do is you select the workload. You simply go into the questionnaire that WLE presents you. For example, with Domino, it asks you what release of Domino you want to size, how many mail users you want to support, among many other questions pertinent to Domino. Then it includes that in the sizing along with your current workload data that was passed by PM, and then it makes a recommendation. There's a number of templates that are included for a number of other IBM middleware applications as well.
Okay, that's great. So once the recommendation is made by the workload estimator, is there a way for me to save it for later reference?
Yeah, there's a number of options or things you can do. You can print the recommendation. You can save it to a PDF for easy transfer to others. You can save the workload definition for later access or for transferring to another interested party, like your business partner, for example.
Okay. One thing I did notice during this conversation is that you used the word sizing. Is there any particular reason for that?
Yeah, the workload estimator is what we call in the industry a sizer, not a model. It's a very good sizer. It's sensitive to a lot of things. But again, you should always review those results with your IBM business partner or your IBM representative before you make the purchase.
Okay. That sounds really helpful in helping me manage my system in either a constrained or unconstrained environment. So could you tell me again how I get started with this as a customer?
Well, certainly. The best place to start is the website I mentioned earlier, which is www.ibm.com/systems/i/PM System i5, and you follow the getting started instructions. Remember, it costs you nothing to try the no-charge service, and at a minimum, you should be doing that. But we think you would find the added capacity of the full service quite valuable, and it's just a nominal charge.
All right. Well, thank you, Kurt. This has been really fun to talk through this today. Hopefully, our listeners have had learned some information that will be useful for them managing their systems, and we'll take advantage of it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Van.